I don't know about you, but I really can't believe that it's the end of another church year. Next week we start Advent, and so this weekend we celebrate Christ the King. And on this great solemnity, we begin in the book of the prophet Daniel, who's having these visions of the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven. The Son of Man who has received dominion, glory, and kingship. An everlasting dominion, a kingdom that shall not be destroyed. The book of Revelation then is able to take this vision of Daniel and help us, I think, to understand it, of course, as a prediction of Jesus Christ. For in Revelation we hear the words of praise for and to Jesus Christ, who has conquered sin and death and freed us to be priests for his God and Father. We also hear in this reading from Revelation that he is coming in language quite similar to that written in the book of Daniel, because they are both of the same genre, apocryphal literature. And we also hear in this book of Revelation that Jesus Christ is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the last, the one who fulfills everything. And then we come to the Gospel of John. And we are once again placed before us this dialogue between Pilate and Jesus over kingship and what it looks like. A dialogue that should be very familiar for us, to us, for we hear it every Good Friday. What does it mean to be king? And what does it mean to say that Jesus is king? To celebrate the solemnity of Christ the King, we come here proclaiming him as King, and yet do we truly consider what that really, truly means for each one of us? When we think about someone who is King, they have rule over all the land and their territory. Now we say that Jesus Christ is King of the universe, over all creation. So what that means is that he is king over our physical lives, over our bodies and our sexuality on the one hand, over our work on the other, over families and relationships, relationships that are not to be means but are ends, relationships that are to respect the human person who is not to be used. Because he is king over all. And he is king over our society and businesses and countries. He is king over our culture. Or at least, that's where he should be. Because he truly is. What does it mean to say that Jesus Christ is king? He is to be king over our spiritual lives as well. In and through our prayer life, he is to be placed on the throne of glory. He is to be king every day of our lives, not just on Sundays when we come to Mass. To say that he is king means that he is to be the center of our faith and our belief. To say that he is king is to say that he has rule and reign over the gifts and talents that he has given us. Because he is the perfecter of every good gift. All that we have is a gift from him. And he is able to bring forth fruit from those very gifts. What does it mean to say that Jesus Christ is king? He is to be king over our mental lives, over our thoughts, over our ideas and inspirations, over our decisions. Because he is a loving God who knows what is best for us. Because he is a loving God who knows what we need. Yesterday at Mass, I was able and had the great fortune to celebrate a baptism. And it's a great reminder for all of us, particularly on this weekend of Christ the King, that in baptism, we were made sons and daughters of God. In that beautiful relationship of a father to a child, of a brother to a brother or a sister. But the reality is that we are also made subjects of the King, Christ the King. For we entered into His mystical body, the Church, into the kingdom that He has established on this earth in and through Himself. And this kingdom that we are part of, built on Peter the Rock, is not a democracy, which is very hard for us to grasp as Americans. Jesus is not the president. He is the King. This is not a voting representative body, but rather truly a monarchy. But not a monarchy like we see on earth that falls to corruption or tyranny, but rather a monarchy that builds up every one of its subjects as children of God. What a paradox that Christ has revealed to us. It's not I get to choose this faith that we believe in. We can't really be cafeteria Catholics picking which belief we want to believe in if He is King. If He is King, then what He has proclaimed, the truth that He came to proclaim as He told Pilate, needs to be followed because He is ruler over all. And then I struggled with what word to describe this. The only word I could think of was subjugation, which has a very negative connotation. But when it comes to Christ and subjecting ourselves to Him as the King, the irony is that this is not a demeaning word anymore. But rather, it's a life-giving, fulfilling, and meaningful word, because in and through Jesus Christ, as King of the universe, do we truly discover who we are. Because He is our Creator and our Lord. He is the one who died to save us, the Good Shepherd, who laid down His life for His sheep, each and every one of us. A King who was born in a stable, amongst the lowliness, in the lowliest place on earth, to a poor couple, a carpenter and his wife, who are rich in faith, but not in worldly means. Our King is one who has become one with us in all things but sin, who knows us so well, the depths of our sorrows, the heights of our joys. What does it mean to say that Jesus is King? It means that He needs to be King in totality over the whole of our lives. It means that we need to let Him in. But the reality of our King is that He knocks at the door and waits for us to open it. He does not force His way in, for He has given us free will and a decision. A decision to be open to His love and receive it and return that love in and through our lives. Or a decision to reject that love. He needs to be King in totality. Or we're really just playing around with this idea of Christianity. And we're not truly meeting a person who is Jesus Christ, the King of the universe, the King of our lives. He has once again given us His word to remind us of what that kingship looks like, and of the rules, if you will, that the King has established for us. But most especially, He gives us His body, blood, soul, and divinity in this Eucharist, His very self, so that we might be able to live out the law that He has laid down, a law of love of God and of our neighbor. For if he is king, is he king of our totality?